This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. This morning, Finance Minister Bill Morneau backed off the last of his original tax reform proposals that caused a huge backlash from small business. It's been quite the week for him and his government. The reforms were characterized as a way to close loopholes that the wealthy take advantage of to avoid paying their fair share. That in itself had small businesses crying foul. These reforms were also supposed to net the government billions of dollars. Instead, the government started the week by announcing a small business tax cut that will cost $3 billion over 5 years. Yesterday, they backed off higher taxes for so-called passive income in a corporation. So the way they're doing that now is that a business, investments in a business not related to the business, can generate $50,000 a year in income before higher taxes kick in. And by the way, you'd have to have passive investments of about $1 million to generate that. Now, the farmers have been furious over proposed changes, a little complicated, related to the conversion of income to capital gains, but they would have made it hugely costly to pass on a family farm to a family member, to the younger generation. It would have been much cheaper to pass it on, to sell it to a stranger. Well, that is now off the table. And all of this, as Bill Morneau has taken a huge hit amid revelations that he avoided putting his assets, his very considerable assets, into a blind trust through the use of a loophole. That is, by holding them in a corporation rather than holding them personally. One commentator wrote that the most lasting impact of all these tax reforms might be to Bill Morneau's reputation. So we want to know what you think. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And right now we go to Mark Wales, who is a farmer in Elgin County and serves on the Ontario Federation of Agriculture Board, and Michael Diamond, who is a principal with Upstream Strategy. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Good afternoon, Libby.
Okay, let's start with Mark. So does this satisfy you? They seem to have backed off the thing that upset you the most.
Yes, I would really like to take this opportunity to thank the minister and the government for listening to us. It's been a difficult ride for the last 90 days. And remember, this entire event started on July the 19th, a day after they made these announcements, and 90 days later, they've recognized that the capital gains implications to farmers and the extra cost, and quite frankly, it would have made no sense to sell to your kids any longer. They've taken that completely off the table, and I think they've done the right thing on clarifying what the new rules would be for passive investments, as well in regards to the income sprinkling, because that was a problem as well. We were concerned about the reasonableness test. And we have offered to work both with the PMO's office and the finance department to make sure that as they go forward and they look at what's the contribution of a family member, that it's done in a fair manner and really recognizes how important family members are to the farm business going forward. So I think it's been a very positive week. I think they've listened. Kudos to them. Governments do not always get it right at the start of an exercise. And hopefully we can move forward now and actually deal with some of the important things out there, like NAFTA and that nut bar we have next door. So.
Okay. But has this done any damage? I mean, this whole exercise, right? You know, the way it was done at first, this was unveiled in the dead of summer with a very short consultation period. Businesses, small businesses were characterized almost as tax cheats, Mark. So has it left a bad taste in your mouth about dealing with this government, or you think, great, you know, we got them to change their minds?
Well, there's no argument. They rolled this out poorly. They had not thought it through. I'm pleased that we've been able to work with them and get our message across. And it's not just farms as well. I mean, I look at this as important, these announcements, for other rural small businesses who are also almost just as impacted, because we have a high rate of turnover from one generation to the next, even in rural businesses like our supply and input dealers and businesses in small rural communities. So I'm glad they listened. I had not anticipated spending my entire harvest season learning about something that's complicated and not the most thrilling stuff to do. But we've committed to work with them, and we've committed to work sure they to make sure that they get this right going forward. And they've said they will, so I will take them at their word.
Okay, Michael Diamond, what do you make of this entire saga?
You know, it's been fascinating to watch, and I think it's marks the middle of the end of the Trudeau honeymoon period. He obviously hugely popular internationally, but in Canada, I think some of the shine has come off, and it really started last year before Christmas with that Fidel Castro eulogy, and we just saw it then Cotter, and this is really, I think, the middle of that period. It's tough for a government to back off on something, especially something where they had their rank and file members so riled up that this was the right thing to do, that this was about tax fairness, which is, you know, in my opinion, never really was about. It was ill-conceived. It was a communications disaster. And it's good to see that they've walked back on many of the provisions. But I think that if you look at the damage, if you look at the Harper government, there was one incident that I can think of where they put out a proposal on a throne speech. There was a huge public backlash. And within a couple of days, they changed course, and that was on changing the lyrics to the national anthem. It took this government so long to even make it appear that they were listening to the consultation they were having, that that's where so much of the damage will be lasting, I think.
And what about the way they rolled these changes out over 3 days? I mean, if I would have thought that if you're backtracking, if you've got your tail between your legs, you'd kind of get it all out at once, no?
You know what? You rip it off, exactly. When you have to admit that you were wrong about something, you don't want to not have death by 100 paper cuts. So it really is a strange tactic. How I would have done it is really, you know, we're approaching the end of a fall session and not too long, really ram through some legislation, stop talking about this, and prorogue Parliament, have a refresh with the throne speech in the new year, and really announce a new vision and a new course. And that would, I think, give them really the time to say that they did reflect on the feedback and admit they're wrong in a much different way. Well, they're also announcing a broad and new agenda.
Okay, I want to get to this whole issue surrounding Bill Morneau and the way that's been handled. And I'm hoping that our listeners will weigh in on this as well. So, I mean, this really had me scratching my head because, you know, part of the problem with these reforms is that it characterized people as using, quote, loopholes and kind of not paying their fair share. And then it turns out that this extremely wealthy finance minister has used a loophole very similar, involving a corporation, which is considered an entity in Canada, to avoid putting his assets into a blind trust. We also learn that, so he actually owns all those shares in Morneau Chappell, $40 million worth or something, and he has not recused himself from discussing a bill that governs pensions, which is that business. Michael, what is the damage from that?
You know, here's an interesting stat that Warner Chappelle just declared a dividend of 6.1 cents for October that will be paid at the end of the month on Halloween. That means Bill Morneau will be getting $147,000 in trick-or-treats, I think, is the exact amount or approximate amount of what his dividend is going to be. So that just shows the gravity of this. And absolutely, when you're the finance minister, there's a reason budgets are announced after the close of markets. There's a reason that Jim Flaherty waited to announce his resignation as finance minister for the close of markets. Everything you do has an impact. So to use a loophole to avoid having to place your assets in blind trust is just, it's something that won't sit well with rank and file Canadians. And if you look at why the last Liberal government was tossed out, it was because of these sort of, the rules didn't apply when you think back to the sponsorship scandal. But that took a long time for that government to get that arrogant and out of touch with people. This is 2 years in, and there's a few things. One, I actually think Bill Morneau's a highly competent man. I think he's also a very nice man. I've met him a few times.
And principled is his reputation as extremely principled.
Exactly. I mean, he was a star candidate in that riding because people, not just on Bay Street but in the community, think so highly of Bill Morneau. This is a good guy. I mean, we can't make words about that. But I think it's almost, you have to look at the prime minister who put a rookie into this ministry. Jim Flaherty, of course, was new to Parliament, but he had been finance minister in Ontario, so he was battle tested. So there's really two issues when you're a finance minister. You obviously have to be competent and understand the file, and I think generally, Bill Morneau, beyond the communications of this rollout, has proven apt at that. But it's the communications, it's the political communicator that you need, the person who's going to deliver the budget and deliver the speeches and the consultations throughout the country. And so I think that was a mistake to put a rookie into this position. And also, if he had turned to someone like Scott Bryson, for example, who definitely would be considered, even as, I'm a conservative, but would consider Scott Bryson to be qualified for that role, Minister Bryson out of Nova Scotia, he had already been a cabinet minister and a member of parliament since 1997, so a very long time, and definitely understood the rules that applied to ministers, there wouldn't be this type of conflict because he'd already been through this once before.
Well, I mean, let me give the numbers out again because I really would like to hear from our listeners on this, and we are going to move in and onto an interesting poll about Justin Trudeau in a couple of minutes. So the number is 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. Right now we're talking about Bill Morneau. And the other thing that really strikes me is that it's hard to believe that, according to reports, I haven't spoken to him, he's hurt by all this, that he didn't see this coming, that he didn't see that he didn't see this coming. And they seem to have a certain kind of, I'd say, self-righteousness where they think, we would never cheat. We always have the purest of motives. Mark, what's your feeling on that?
Well, your motives can be as pure as snow. But in this case, bad political mistake on the part of the minister. Hopefully he's learned his lesson. He should immediately put those shares in a trust and say, I made a mistake, I'm rectifying it, and move on. Because politically, everybody's busy taking their cheap shots right now. But there's a country to govern here, so they needed to get it right. But he did make a mistake here, and no argument, this shouldn't have happened. We did go through a similar exercise, if you'll remember, when Paul Martin was finance minister, and he owned Canada's steamship lines. And I think we went through an exercise, and he finally did put that in a blind trust, and life went on.
Yeah, and there was a whole controversy over, the country of origin of his company.
Yep. So I think we need to, certainly the government needs to put this to rest, and Mr. Morneau needs to clean up this issue, and everybody needs to move on, because this is complicated enough, but there are so many issues swirling around the NAFTA negotiations that are going to be critical to the economy of this country, especially for small business as well as big business. But we got to get beyond this one. Bad mistake, deal with it, admit you made a mistake, solve it, fix it, move onward.
Well, there is word that he is going to have more to announce on this later today. So I guess we'll see if that is going to be enough.
You know, the problem for Morneau and the Liberal government, though, is that the opposition critics on this matter are not going to be as understanding as Mark. Mm-hmm. So they're in for a very rough ride in question period until they actually address Bill Morneau's actions.
Okay.
Politics is a blood sport.
Well, exactly. And perhaps Mr. Morneau didn't quite realize that. Okay, so we're going to be wrapping up this segment. We're going to be taking a break. But when we come back, we're going to be asking the question, how do you see Justin Trudeau, charismatic and modern or arrogant and flaky? And what do you think of the fact that he's an international celebrity? So, Mark, thanks very much. And Michael, if you can stick around, that would be great.
Certainly.
We're right now, we are going to be taking a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.